Doc wants to use it. Oh, yeah. Can move it. Okay, can I have the program? I would like to invite you all to find your seats so we can start our worship, our song service. Okay, so now that we are all refreshed and back, or most of us at least, I'll invite you to open your hymnals if you want to, or you can follow on the screen. Can we have the lyrics on the screen, please? And we're going to sing together hymn number 8, We Gather Together, because we're gathering together.
We gather together to ask the Lord's blessings. He chastens and hastens His will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to His name, He forgets not His own. Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining His kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight we were winning, Thou lowering outside our glory. We all do extol Thee, Thou leader triumphant, and pray that Thou still our defender will be. Let Thy congregation escape tribulation, Thy name be ever praised, O Lord, make us free.
Amen. The next song we're going to share or sing together has been sung. You understand what I'm saying. It has been sung a few times here already in conventions and throughout other programs we have here. And it's a song that we really like to sing. And we would like you to join us in singing. It's called Your Name is Holy. It's very easy to follow. It goes like this.
Your name is holy, O Lord. You shall be praised and adored. Your name is righteousness, power, and love. Your name is holy, O Lord.
Second verse goes just like the first one.
Your name is holy, O Lord. You treasure seas will never cease. God of salvation, forgiveness and peace, your name is holy, O Lord. Holy, holy, your name is holy, O Lord. Holy, 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 your name is holy, O Lord. Your name is holy, O Lord. You calm the winds and the waves. Planets and stars hear your voice and obey. Your name is holy, O Lord. Holy, holy, your name is holy, O Lord. Holy, 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 your name is holy.
Let's do the chorus one more time.
Hello? Okay. Welcome to our divine service for our 60th year anniversary of Eden Valley. You know, when we celebrate a milestone like this, we know that God and God alone can do something like this. And as we've heard reports from around the world, we can't but feel that very, very soon all of our work will cease. And so we need to work while we can. And the very fact that you all are here tells us that you're interested in that goal too. So welcome to our convention, Divine Service, and let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for how you have led us in the past, but we also want to, like Don Johnson said, carry on the work forward till the end. And we know and we thank you for guiding us and leading us as you have in the past all the way until your work is finished. And so today, as we listen to the messages and the service, we pray that you would inspire us, you would speak to our hearts, and you would make clear your plans for each individual life here, and that we may have the courage and to follow wherever you may lead. So we thank you for that, for being with us, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The opening song is, what number is 614, Sound the Battle Cry. You may stand.
is it gonna take before we show some charity? Compassion and mercy, the way it's meant to be. We'll take the time for the ones who truly need and pray for a nation.
Pray for a nation.
We can sing like them. And now we're going to have a special report of Eden Valley. We've heard from the department, but Chenille Fisher is our current president, and Clayton is our vice president, and they're going to give us a very short report how the Lord has blessed this past year.
Thank you, Lisa. Happy Sabbath, everyone. It is so good to see all of you, and we are very excited for what God has been doing here at Eden Valley. You've heard a little bit from our education department, from our lifestyle, and also from the farm. And we'd like to just tell you a little bit more on some of the other things that God has been doing throughout the years. We want to praise Him, Clayton, and just give Him thanks for what He's been doing. So, what are some of the things, Clayton, that we can just reflect on what God has been doing throughout this year so far?
Before we start, I really have to tell people what I have been telling everybody.
Uh-oh.
That God sent Chenille here to elevate this place.
Your dream may just come through.
Lisa, come here, come here. Come here. This was before Chenille. And this is with Chenille. God has been extremely merciful and generous to us.
Amen.
And through the last year, we have been gifted many things that we dreamed of, but we could never achieve with, God has been so good to us throughout these past 6 years that I have been here. Our lifestyle was able to almost the entire time provide for the budget, for the campus, and everything. The problem is When it comes to doing special projects, renovations, buying new equipment, we really depend on donations. But this past year has been such a blessed year.
Tell me a little bit more about some of those blessings.
Yes, we got, for example, we got on our vehicles, for example.
Yes.
Vehicles are expensive. And I don't know if you know that, but they break. They break, they die sometimes, exactly. And so we got a new lifestyle van, a 12-passenger new lifestyle van.
Amen.
That most of you might have, some of you might have seen. It's parked by our lifestyle building. We got a truck, right, a brand new truck. We got a tractor.
A brand new tractor
that was like a tremendous blessing. Last year we spent about $18,000 trying to fix the old one. And if it got fixed for a few months and then it broke down again because it was an old tractor. So we have been blessed immensely through the generous donations of people that support this ministry.
Amen.
What else?
Well, I just, you know, on that note, you know, I just want to thank God first for all these blessings that you mentioned so far, and all those who have been donating, all those, some are perhaps here, I know some are here, some are watching online that couldn't be here, but we thank God because God blesses this ministry through others, and we are very grateful for what God has been doing.
Now, extremely grateful.
Anything else, any plans, projects, new things we're thinking about, Clayton? A few of them.
Alphabetical order or chronological order? Or the importance?
Let's do the importance.
Anyway, there's a lot to be done. You know, we really want to grow this ministry.
Amen.
We believe, me and Shaniel, I'm sure, that God didn't put us here just to maintain it. We need to grow this.
Amen.
The message can't stop, and the more we grow, the more people we can reach.
Carrying the vision.
Because that's the thing. It's not about vehicles. It's not about buildings. It's not about how much money we made them for. It's about how many people we can share the love of God with.
Amen.
That's why we exist.
Amen.
Some people think throughout the years, people were like focusing one thing or the other, and of course, our lifestyle and our health program has been blessing immensely in alleviating the pain of so many people. But we can't forget that we're here for the soul.
Amen.
Not for the bodies. The soul, the goal is the soul.
The soul, that's right.
Right?
So quickly, lifestyle's been growing. We are operating out of 4 to 5 buildings right now.
Yes.
And what are we going to do about that?
Well, it is a long-time dream of Eden Valley. Since we stopped using that building, the village, the bigger building on our property, and it was the first building that was built for Eden Valley. When Eden Valley moved here, when Peter Boris and Elder Grosbo decided to come here, there were already two properties two buildings in the property, and the village was the first big building built for the ministry. It was to house a nursing home, which operated until 1989, I guess. Is that correct? And then it became assisted living for another 10 years. But it has been deactivated since then as a treatment area. So we would like to move lifestyle back to that building.
Amen.
The problem is the building is not big enough. So we would have to build another structure right on the north side of it to hold the treatment areas.
Well, it's a good size building, but there are no treatment areas there.
Exactly.
So we really need a treatment wing, spa style, to really complete that operation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Clayton, we don't have a lot of time, so I think a couple of other things we could think
don't,
on.
I thought you were the president. You can do it.
Well, Madam Chair says we should be
okay
going here.
Okay.
So, we thinking about expansion and building. We are already dealing with a problem because each time we have an application, someone wants to come to Eden Valley. Clayton, in our committee meetings as well, where
are we going to house them?
All right. So.
Yes, because that's the thing. We want to grow, we want to expand, but to expand, we need more people. And in order to have more people, we need to have a place for them to stay. So that is another challenge we have.
Have we started?
We have started.
Okay.
We just acquired a duplex, also with help from a donor, a very generous donor. Yeah. So we acquired another duplex to be built. It was supposed to be here already.
Yes.
But, you know, dealing with the real estate sometimes might be a little tricky. But we should have that building there by the end of next month. So two new housing units,
Amen.
Which is a huge blessing, but it's not enough.
Yes.
We need more housing so we can bring more people to help. The farm grew immensely within the past 2-3 years.
Yes.
We need housing,
yes.
Both permanent housing and temporary housing.
All right, so God will continue to lead us and bless us as we submit to Him. We have no doubt about
Absolutely.
That. Absolutely. So we'll leave Lisa to talk about that as the offering comes shortly here. And we
I
just
know.
Want to thank you again and thank God for all that He's been doing. And please pray for us. The most important thing that we need is prayer.
Absolutely.
That we can follow God, and we know once we follow Him, He will do what He needs to do here in this place.
Just before I give you the mic, just a second.
All right, leave it with
quick,
her.
Quick.
So she won't blame.
one common thread that I noticed among the presidents was that many of them, God said, "Hey, I have a special job for you at Eden Valley," and they were all like, "Eh." Nah, I don't want to. That's my story too. When my wife said, "Hey, why don't we go to Eden Valley?" I said, "No way, forget about it. I'll never do this." 6 years I've been here and has been a huge blessing in my life. What I want to say is, as Frank said, we all know what we have to do. And given the circumstance, when we put our lives in God's hands, we have to be ready to do whatever He asks us to do.
Amen.
Okay?
Well, they've done most of my offering appeal. So, you know our needs here. You know, in the Bible, if you and you look at the spirit of prophecy, the history of the early church, there were two types of people who supported the work, and then there were people who actually did the work. And so, you know, Ellen White says that Nicodemus and Joseph, and I like to, it doesn't mention him, but I like to think Zacchaeus and Matthew. They were all very wealthy men, and they gave all their means to start the Christian church. And we're told that Nicodemus and Joseph, they were broke when they died. And I'm not telling you guys all to give everything, but then there were some other donors that the Bible talk about who gave to the Lord's work. And especially I think about the widow and the mites. And when I first read that story, I thought, well, that was a stupid thing for her to do, to put everything she had in the offering, because, you know, I don't know if she had children or whatever. Didn't she have to buy them food? Didn't she have to buy them toothpaste? You know, didn't she have to buy them, you know, provide for her family? But she gave her two mites. And actually, Denzel, in his office, has, like, the mites from that area, and they're like little tiny metal things that are like the size of your fingernail, little fingernail, tiny little things. But she gave all that she had. And I think that the Lord is expecting us to give all that we have, not financially per se, but all of our hearts. And from our hearts, because of what He has done for us, give. Now, if you will take up the offering envelope on your seats, if you need more, if somebody could pass them out, Adner has some. If you need an offering envelope, inside you'll find a piece of paper like this. And if you pull that out, there's a list of missions that are directly connected to us. Now, you've heard reports from Dominican Republic and from Mexico, from Virginia. She's one of my favorite people. You know, when I think of a missionary, that's who I think of. And then we also didn't hear a report from India and Tanzania, Eden Valley Foster Care Mission. They do work with the AIDS orphans in Tanzania. Like they were talking about, there's a new treatment center, staff housing, of course. We have full-time staff members living in dorms, and I just hate that. But we're doing our very best. And then, of course, a convention like this is, we don't charge anything, but there are expenses. Kimberly and I went shopping for 4 days this week. And so there are some expenses, so if you would like to help with the convention expenses. So write your name. You can do a pledge. You can do credit cards. You can put cash in if you want receipts. And then if you want to check these missions on this side and how much you want to say. One thing I want to say about our new treatment center, we have a person who is willing to give us $100,000 towards that if we can match it. So, you know, the Bible says the Lord has cattle on 1,000 hills, but we're vegetarians, so we need more, something more than cows. So if you could think about that, be generous. We have a very generous donor who will match that. And what we're going to do is have the choir sing, the Prisma, sorry, sing a song. And while they're singing, pray about what the Lord is leading you to do and to further his work all around the world. And then when they're finished singing, we'll take up the offering.
Sometimes I fail to understand. Everything here comes from your hand. Lord, forgive me when I live my life blinded by my greed and pride.
Sometimes I fail to let it go, to give up control of my desires. Help me to forgive just like you do, so my life will testify.
You are God. I'm
we all are blessed. Now we're going to have special music with our Eden Valley Choir, Eden Valley and Friends Choir. And when they are finished singing, we will hear from our speaker for the morning, Chenille Fisher. And you've met him several times today, but he has been a huge blessing already. And I know that the Lord is going to use him mightily to carry this work forward to the end. So after the song, the next voice you hear will be from Chenille Fisher.
Share the message of love.
Amen. What a blessing. What a message in the song. I do sing in the choir, but I knew, I didn't think I was ready to sing. I told Clayton, I need to hear that song rather than singing it. So, it's such a blessing to reflect on that voice, as the song states, I hear the voice of Jesus calling. Happy Sabbath, everyone. It is so good to be in God's house and to see all of you. What a great blessing it is to be here, at least for me, and I'm sure it's been a great blessing for you as well. As they were singing, I thought about that voice. I was only 17 years old when I heard that voice. And, well, I first heard it at 15 years old when I came into the faith. But at 17, it was very clear that that voice saying, I want you to be involved in my work. And I didn't know what that was about. You see, my family was not Adventists. So it was by a miracle. I heard the song earlier from Prisma, Miracle. It was by a miracle that I came into the church. I shared some of my testimony some time ago here at Eden Valley. And you know, everyone didn't believe that this was serious when I felt I heard that voice, and because they knew what I was involving, and they thought I was joking. I was playing games, but I told them I was not. Somehow this thing keeps coming closer in my mouth. If we could detain it a little bit. So, it's funny because I told my friends, I was with my friends, and I told them, you know, I think I'm going to work for the Lord in different parts of the world, and I don't understand this. But that's what's on my heart. And that's what I've been impressed with the Lord, I guess the Spirit of God. Now I know, I didn't know then, but now I know the Spirit of God was tugging on my heart. And so, back in Jamaica, at 16, 17, I still didn't have my passport, and so I told some friends that I need my passport. And they're like, what are you talking about? What are you getting your passport? Because normally, you don't get your passport typically at that age until you really know that you're going to travel. So I had no travel plans. I knew nothing, and I said, I'm going to get my passport. And they were all wondering, thinking I was crazy. I did got it. I got my passport. How should I do it, Clayton? A little down. That's better. Okay. Can you hear me? And so I got my passport, and they laughed at me. They laughed at me, and I was ashamed, but at once, but then later I said, one day these guys will understand why I get this passport. I didn't know the future, but I knew God knew it. And so, God had many other things in mind. It is such a blessing to be standing here today, thinking about those years in the past. 2013, that was my first time here at Eden Valley. 2013, I came up from the Dominican Republic where I was working for a mission report. And I know Lisa went down to take care of some other matters, but she was up here and we were talking. She introduced me and the project there in the Dominican Republic. And as I walked around the campus, I was amazed, and Ignacio, the farm manager, gave me a tour, and it was such an awesome experience. And I thought that the Lord was in this place, and as I observed what was going on, I knew that this was a special ministry. And so while I continued to work in the Dominican Republic, it's funny, because when I got finished down there and when I left, I received a call, and because Lisa and many others came to the Dominican Republic for mission trips, and we would always talk about the work. And so she said, whenever you leave the Dominican Republic, if you leave, then come to Eden Valley. But I left the Dominican Republic. God had another plan, and I knew it wasn't then. I didn't know it would be now either. But I want to tell you that without a doubt, I believe and know with all my heart that the Lord has called me here. I share with the committee several times that I was battling with four calls at the time when I was asked to be here. And naturally speaking, my desire wasn't to be here, to be honest. No, naturally speaking, it wasn't. I got very excited when OCN Light asked if I would just focus on OCN Light and travel and keep traveling. Because I love to travel, Steve. And when James, we talked, and, you know, that's one of the possibilities that was there. And it was so enticing. I thought, that's it. I've been traveling for the past 10 years in different parts of the world, and I really enjoyed it. But the more I prayed, the Lord said, nope. It is not as you desire at this time, but it is as I will. And I'm here today because God wills it. Let us pray. Father, I'm here in your hands. We have come because we know that you have a word for us. And we pray now for the anointing of the Spirit. I pray that you will anoint my mind, and that, Lord, your message will go freely. Forgive me, Lord, for every sin. And may the robe of Jesus cover me now. And may your voice be heard. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our message today is entitled, Carry the Vision. Carry the Vision. 2019, in fact, 2018, December, I was planning my trip to Mozambique in Africa. And so I was traveling New Year's Eve. Actually, I was in the plane, in the air, New Year's Day. And during this trip, or during this time, I was thinking a lot about the mission that we needed to do over there in Mozambique. I was excited. I thought that this was momentous. I thought this was important. We received the call with Light. I was traveling, and it felt so good that I was able to go out with a team. I took 5 students to Africa from Wildwood. And while we were there, somehow, during this process of working for God and pouring out my entire heart and life for God, when we returned, everything was okay. And the next day I went to the Light office because I didn't want jet lag to catch on me and to disturb my pattern. So in the daytime, I wanted to be at work. I wanted to be busy and not sleep. And so that was so challenging because I was always wanting to go to sleep. But I said I would fight it. Somehow, a day after the trip, I was at work. I felt so strange. First time in my life I've ever felt that way. And I said, I've gone through jet lag. It doesn't feel this way. I start to worry a little bit and say, well, I need some exercise. I was told after your trip, long trips like that, some exercise helped to recalibrate things. And so I was doing that. But somehow it got worse. And maybe after 3 days, I start to feel like my brain was shutting down. It's very strange. And so finally, James and I worked together. We worked together at the light office. And so I said, James, something is not right. This is not jet lag. And so we talked for a little bit and said, you should run down the clinic just so they check up your vitals and stuff. And so I was getting ready to jump in the car to go down to the clinic there at Wildwood in the Lifestyle Center, but I couldn't drive the car. It's more than my brain now, the weakness, my hands, everything, my body was closing down, was shutting down. And I called another friend, hey, can you drive me down to the clinic? Because something here, I don't know what's going on. Anyway, I arrived there, and they did my vitals. They realized that my blood pressure was so low, and all my vitals were so off. Right away, I was rushed to the emergency room. And so being there, they started asking me, I couldn't understand everything they're saying because of the fogginess in the brain. And so they started asking the person that took me down, hey, where was he, what's going on, etc. And they started telling them about my mission trip and everything. And as they looked through my vitals, they took my blood right away. They drew my blood and they went to processing right away. Very quick test. And they realize, yeah, your system is shutting down. Your kidneys are closing down. Your liver is closing down too because you have malaria. And this, there are four types that are famed, malaria, four types of them that are very well known. And I had this Plasmodium falciparum. And that one is responsible for most malaria deaths around the world. So I had the worst one. And as they were, right away, I was in ICU, and as I said, I was shutting down the system. I don't know what's going on. And eventually, I was there. I realized both arms were hooked up, both feet as well. They're trying to pump blood through this machine on my feet. And it was a very terrible moment. And during this time, this is day one, day two was the most devastating. And then when three or four doctors came in the room together reasoning, I know a little bit of that kind of discussion. They didn't realize because I've been trained a little bit in health and labs and stuff. So when they would be talking about my labs, I knew what's going on with my creatinine and my BUN and all of that. And so I'm listening. And I realized my kidneys are shutting down, literally. And so one of the physicians came by and said, do you have family members nearby? You know what that means. And so my closest family member, my aunt, lives in New York and I have some cousins there. And so I said, well, New York is the closest. And so they were like, maybe you'd like to call them or, you know, for them to come by. And so I knew where this was going. And so I decided it was time to go ahead and talk to the Lord seriously and just tell him what's on my heart. And I'm telling you this backdrop to begin our message today. Because during this time, you know, my prayer wasn't a really hard prayer, I have to be very honest with you. My prayer was a simple prayer, and the prayer was, okay, Lord, I am not old, I'm not an old man, I'm still young, but you have allowed me to travel to almost 40 countries, and I've worked a little, and so I was surprised. I told God, I'm surprised, Lord, that the hour has come, because I feel like I have another 50 years. And I'm surprised. So this is my reasoning with God. I'm surprised that this is it. But Lord, if this is the time, let it be. And I did all the confessing. Take away everything, Lord. Wash me, and I want to just see you when you come. And then
The tough part of this, Clayton, is that I was already courting Lena. And so, Lena is my wife, by the way. Baby, you want to wave? It's my beautiful wife there. So we were in courtship, and so in the next half of my prayer, that's phase one of the prayer, phase two, I said, Lord, I've been praying, I've been waiting patiently, I've been, been introduced to other young ladies, and as we talk, I realize, no, that's not God's plan, so I've been waiting on you, but Lord, at this time, I believe this is the one, I can't believe this is the time I'm dying. That's me, you know, just being, I can't believe, Lord, I thought I was... You know, the one has come. That's the one, because I believe with all my heart she was the one. And so I said, Lord, wow. But you know, hey, I came back at it and I said, Lord, if this is your will, I'm very serious. I'm not kidding, Adner. I said, Lord, if this is your will, just give Lena a good guy. Give Lena a good guy. Well, I'll go to sleep, and, you know, I want to see you when you come. But there was a but in the prayer, Johnny. I said, but Lord, if you would have me to continue living, you'd have me to survive this and live, because the doctors think it's done. If I really live, Lord, I want to pour out my life, my everything for you. Everything. Which I've been serving as a missionary and working for God for the past 15 years. And so I said, Lord, there's no turning back. I have no other plans. I know you have called me to this. And so, Lord, if ever it's in your plan that I should live, which I won't tell you the full story now, but it's amazing how God brought me back to life. Because the doctors thought that was it. But the last thing I said to God, help me that if you would have me to survive this, that any time I preach or I represent you, Lord, I want to do it as if it's my last message and this is it today. I don't know if I have another message. And so if you see me get excited, it's because of that promise. It's because of what I asked God, because of what I told God, that if you would have me to be revived from this, I want to, any time I present a message, it's like the last message, and I want to pour out everything for you. So here we go. Here we go. Our message, carry the vision. In the book of Joshua, we see a very exciting and very interesting story. Throughout the book, we see the power of God moving as people gave their lives to Jesus and to God. We see how much that after the servant, God's servant, Moses, after his death, God wanted to do something else with a young man that was the assistant to Moses. And so as we come through the book of Joshua, we see some interesting things that God was seeking to tell the children of Israel, Moses is gone, but carry the vision. And so during this time, as God was working with his people, we see here in Deuteronomy, turn with me in your Bibles, I deliberately didn't put things on the screen because that projector was jumping too much, and I want us to just focus without that blinking and stuff going on there. So go with me in your Bibles if you have them, and the iPhones, and whatever else we have today. So in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 34, I'm going to be running with the time here this morning, so write it down if you're not able to go there on time, all right? Just write the verses down. We have several of them. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9, the Bible says here, and Joshua, the son of, what's the name? Nun, was full of the spirit of what? Wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded who? Moses. So Joshua, here coming on the scene, notice some interesting things here on the onset from our message and from the verse. It says Joshua the son of Nun was what? The first thing? Full of what? Of the Spirit. Don't lose that. Miss that. We're going to come back to it. So Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. Moses laid his hands on him. This is important. You see, friends, Moses knew that the work of God wasn't dependent upon him. Moses knew that it wasn't God's will for him to be the only one, and therefore he started pouring out into Joshua. Watch this. Moses understand the concept. This is Moses that was thinking he needed to counsel all of Israel, and his father-in-law Jethro counseled him, "Hey Moses, what are you doing? Lay the work on other men." And so Moses started thinking about that, laying the work, giving different men different roles. And this was Moses that's now pouring out in Joshua. Moses laid his hand upon him. And so throughout the book of Joshua, throughout the Deuteronomy Joshua, you will see how Moses was preparing Joshua for something important. And so, in the book of Joshua, you'll see some very interesting thing, by the way. The meaning of Joshua's name is Jehovah is salvation. Or Yahweh saves. In other words, in the name of Joshua, actually Joshua is a type of Jesus. Yahweh saves. Jehovah or Yeshua is salvation. Now, it's interesting because we don't know a lot about the family of Joshua. When you read through the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, coming down to Deuteronomy, you don't see much about the family of Joshua. You always see Joshua the son of Nun. Who is Nun? That's a study. We won't have time to get into today. But the son of Nun, interestingly, when you go to the Greek, the Hebrew breaks it down a little bit talking about the son of Nun, and this represents perpetual, continual, eternal. So through this, Joshua's name or the family of Joshua, it is saying perpetual. Is Jesus perpetual? Is Jesus our eternal God? Is Jesus our continual friend? He is. So this is the representation of Joshua. By the way, the theme of the book, watch this. The theme of the book of Joshua is the faithfulness of Jehovah in the fulfillment of his promises. I wish somebody would say amen. The faithfulness of Jehovah in fulfilling his promises. So throughout the book, you will see that God promised things, and guess what? God fulfills it. And as we come to these last days, as we come to this important time in our earth's history, we as God's people need to remember that God has given many promises, and guess what? He will fulfill them. We have a lot of promises, and we're going to look at some of that today. So friends, as we go down to the book of Joshua, we will see that Joshua was the first general. This is Exodus 17 verse 9. Write it down. We won't go to all of them. Exodus 17 verse 9, Joshua was the general. First appearance of Joshua in the Bible. He was in a great battle against the enemies of Israel. In other words, Joshua was a warrior. He was a warrior. And God used that energy of a warrior because he knew that he had some greater work for Joshua to do. As we go down through the book of Exodus, a little further, Exodus 24, verse 13, Joshua had a servant's heart. I want to read this one. Exodus, the chapter is 24, and we're looking at verse 13. The Bible puts it this way, Exodus 24, verse 13, it says, "And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God." So here we see this also in the story of Elijah. Who was the minister to Elijah? Elisha. And throughout the Bible you will see that these men were careful about having someone that's working beside them. I think I should pause and say something about that today. There are times that in God's work, that we may take on so much, we're doing so much, and we forget this principle, always have someone by your side. We are told that the greatest leader, that anyone that would be a great leader in God's church, always is looking for someone to pour out his life into. So that as that person goes, then the blessing continues to flow through the next person because they have poured out their life into him or her. And so here we have Moses. Joshua's leader. Moses training Joshua. And then we go to the book of Numbers. We're seeing where Moses is involved in helping Joshua to see some of the principles of the work. We also see that in Exodus 32 verse 17. Let's go there. Exodus 32 and verse 17. The Bible says, "And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp." Look at verse 18. "And he said, it is not the noise of them that shout for mastery, neither it is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." Joshua was zealous for the cause of God. Joshua saw what was going on. He heard and was wondering what's going on. So from the early stage of his life working with Moses, he was zealous for God's cause. No example in the Bible show where Joshua sinned, by the way, being a representative or a type of Jesus. And so during the narrative, you don't see any history and what's a little bit more deeper into Joshua's life. In Exodus chapter 33... and verse 10 and 11, we see that Joshua had this devoted heart. They were in the temple. Moses, Joshua, some others. And now it was time to leave from the temple. And Joshua said, you know, I will stay here a little bit more in the temple of the Lord. Joshua had a devoted heart to the service of God. Now we've been introduced to a couple of words over this weekend. Frank started introducing the word. What's the word? Sacrifice. Now, Steve Dickman mentioned also another word he would like to think about as he's thinking about the work that needs to be done around the world. What's that word? Faith. I'd like to introduce the word courage today. I'd like us to talk about courage today. And this is where our message is coming from. As I mentioned, the book of Joshua. Courage. Joshua was zealous for God's cause. Numbers 11 verses 28 and 29. Numbers 13, we see that Joshua wasn't looking. You remember when the spies were sent out? 12 of them went out, saying Joshua, Caleb and Joshua came back. The other 10 were seeing the difficulties, seeing that this can't happen. They think that this is not able. We're not able to accomplish this. But Caleb and Joshua said, we are more able to do this. Courage. 10 saw obstacles, 2 saw what? Possibilities. 10 were discouraged because of what was going on around them. 2 were encouraged because of the opportunity that was before them. And God made that very clear as these men giving a false report. Joshua, Caleb and Joshua came by and stilled the people, calmed them down. Hey, calm down, guys. We are able to do this. Are we able today? Sounds like you're not convicted. Are we able today? Yes. Friends, we are about to cross the Jordan, if you please. We are on the brink of Jordan. Just like Joshua and the children of Israel. They were there, they were thinking, they knew that it was impossible in their minds or in their possibilities to cross the Jordan. But there, they needed to depend on God. And today, friends, we need to depend on God in order to cross over the spiritual Jordan. Today, we need to understand that as men see obstacles, God is saying to all of us today, I have lots of possibilities for you. Though men think that it cannot be done, God is saying, I am more able to do it for you. The story is told of a vulture and a hummingbird. And they both were flying over this nice, beautiful field, lots of plants and flowers in that field. The vulture was upset because the vulture is saying, man, there's nothing here. The vulture think that this is game over. There's nothing. They're flying high. The vulture flying high, looking down, looking for something. He sees nothing. Guess what? The hummingbird was basking in the beauty because of the opportunity of the flowers and the plants and the nectar. Everything was there. And the hummingbird was so excited because of what's there. You see, it's all about perspective, folks. The vulture is looking for some dead animal and some stuff to get and devour. The hummingbird is looking for the nectar. God has some nectar for us, friends. God has nectar for us. The children of Israel, they came upon the Jordan. By the way, this was in the springtime, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. It was high, it was difficult, and obviously it wasn't an easy task. They were not able just to cross so easily. And so when they came upon this, imagine your leader is gone. Moses is dead, and now Joshua. Everything is changing in the book of Joshua, by the way. As you come to the book of Joshua, you'll see there's change. Moses is gone. There's a change. We need to cross over into the Jordan. Across the Jordan, over into Canaan. That's a change. We just changed leader. That's a change. And here, what are we going to do? Friends, as we think about God's work, for these times, I want you to think about something. In the book, Patriarchs and Prophets, page 481, paragraph 4, it says, Joshua was now the acknowledged leader of Israel. He had been known chiefly as a warrior, and his gifts and virtues were especially valuable at this stage in the history of the people. Courageous. What's our word for today? Courage. Courageous, resolute, and persevering, prompt, incorruptible, unmindful of selfish interest in his care for those committed to his charge, and above all, inspired by the living faith of God. Joshua realized that it wasn't about him now, it was about God working through him. It wasn't about all that he learned from Moses, but it was about God now saying, Joshua, I will be with you. And so listen to what it says. Such was the character of the man divinely chosen to conduct the armies of Israel in their entrance upon the promised land. During the sojourn in the wilderness, he had acted as prime minister to Moses, and by his quiet, unpretending fidelity, his steadfastness, when others wavered, his firmness to maintain the truth in the midst of danger, he had given evidence of his fitness to succeed Moses even before he was called to the position that God had called him to. Joshua. Was being prepared for a very important work. And the next quote, continuing here from Patriarchs and Prophets page 482, paragraph 1, it says here, the Israelites were still encamped on the east side of Jordan, which presented the first barrier to the occupation of Canaan. Arise, and being the first message of God to Joshua, go over this Jordan. I will go is what the song we just heard. Arise, go over this Jordan. Thou and all the people unto the land which I have given thee. No instruction was given as to the way in which they were to make passage. Joshua knew, however, in that God, whatever God should command, he would make a way for his people to perform. And in this faith and courage, the intrepid leader at once began his arrangements for advance. Joshua didn't know what was going on. He didn't see a path. He didn't see the way. But he knew God had spoken, and it was time to move forward. And so, friends, in time, this time of Earth's history, as we are embarking on a new phase, as we're embarking on the last days of Earth's history, God is saying to you and I today, arise and cross the Jordan. Friends, God wants to prepare us to cross this Jordan. For many years we've been living here. For many years we've been going around this mountain. And God is saying, it is time for my people to cross over into the heavenly kingdom. It is time that we leave this earth. But we cannot do that until we take the message to the world. There's a great message to be given. God called Joshua and said, arise, go over this Jordan. But there's some important things that Joshua needed to keep in mind. And that's what I want to look at with you. And we're going to be done for today. There are very important things that God says to Joshua. Turn with me to the book of Joshua chapter 1. We're going to spend the next few minutes there, and then we're going to try to bring this home, okay? So Joshua chapter 1, stay there. We won't go pretty far after that. Joshua chapter 1, we read verse 2, look at verse 3. It says, every place, verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you. That I have given unto you. Remember the theme of the book of Joshua? God fulfilling his promises to his children. So God right here in verse 3 is saying, hey, I have given to you. Has God given it to us, friends? Has he given us this world, Steve? God has given us this world to be able to take the everlasting gospel to every country on this earth. That's the three angels' messages as we know them. The angels flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to go to where? All the world. Friends, that's our mission today. And if anything else is occupying our minds, if anything else is distracting us, I came by here to let us or remind us that our great mission, it doesn't matter what we're doing, it doesn't matter what we're involved in, our great and most important mission is to take the gospel to the world. Look at verse 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward going down of the sun shall be your coast. What a promise. God promised them. But there's some things that Joshua needs to keep in mind before this promise can be fulfilled. Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. In other words, God is saying, Joshua, they will try, but they will not be able because I am with you. And then look down, it says here a little bit further down in verse 5, it says, as I was, praise God, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Moses experienced the blessings and the power of God firsthand. And God is saying to Joshua, as I was, so I will. And when we think about our work here at Eden Valley, as I was, so I will. When we think about our pioneers and the work that they started when this early Advent movement started, God is saying to us today, as I was, so I will. And if ever a time in our minds, in our lives, we have doubt that God is able to finish this work and do a mighty work in Eden Valley, God is reminding us, as I was, so I will. And if ever a time we get doubtful, we are without courage, we don't understand that we serve a powerful God, God is reminding us, as I was, so I will. So what are the things we need to accomplish? Don't forget those words. I will not fail thee. God is saying he will not fail us, friends. In fact, we're told that failure should never be in the minds of God's people. Let me read some of that for you this morning. It says, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, what is verse 6 saying to us? Be what? Strong. And what? Of a good courage. That's our word for today, courage. Be strong enough for good courage, for unto this people thou wilt divide an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only thou be what? Strong and very courageous. By the way, I have to tell you this, because this was the book, as I was thinking on what God want me to do about this decision, and I started studying the book of Joshua. I'm going through the book of Joshua, and God was reminding me the various promises here. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to the law. This is where it's coming home now. It's going to come home, friends. It's going to come home now. Watch this. Everything I've said before, you don't want to miss what's coming now. Because God gave all the promises that I will, as I was, I will. Arise, go. All these commands, and God is telling Joshua, yes, you have this. I've given you the land, but here is where God is saying, well, Joshua, I have promised you all these things, but there's something for you to do. Watch me now. In verse 7, going on down, it says here, courage, thou be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe. Watch that word. Don't miss it. Observe to do according to the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or from the left, that thou mayest what? Prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now let's take the next two verses and let's flesh them out a little bit. Then it says, this book of the law, very beautiful verse now, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein how? Day and how? Night, that thou mayst observe, there goes the word again, observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and have a good courage. That's my favorite verse, by the way. All time favorite, Joshua 1:9. By the way, as I was asking the Lord, because I wasn't the one that was in our program to speak, there are some other speakers, some names that we love. They couldn't make it. But then as I was asked and I started to think, Lord, what's the word? I don't know what's the word. And God kept leading my mind to this. And verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And this is the promise that God has given to us. In verses 7 and 8, God is saying there are some things you need to do. If you observe to do God's commandment, if you turn not from the principles that I've given you, then you will be able to have good success. Friends, we cannot have true or that good success that is mentioned here unless we're following the principles of God. It is not time for us to water down or bring down the principles of God. It is time to lift up. By the way, when the Israelites were getting ready to cross over the Jordan, you know what God told them first? Get the priests together. Let them raise up the ark. The what's in the heart, beloved friends? The commandments of God. In other words, God is saying, raise the standard high. Lift up the commandments. Lift up the principles. This is the only way you will have success. And I am very clear about that. I am very clear about that. And I'm very sure that this is the only way that God's people will leave this earth when we lift up the standard. It is not time to bow down. It is not time to be wishy-washy. It is not time to relax. It's time to work. It's time to finish the work. God is saying, my servant Moses is dead. It's your time, Joshua. Raise the standard. Ask the priest to raise the standard. Lift up the commandments. Lift up the principles. And it's almost as if God is saying to you and I today, especially we all that are involved in self-supporting ministries, God is saying, it is not time to lay down the principles that I have given you. It is time, the pioneers and all these men that have dedicated and sacrificed, and through faith they have marched forward. God is saying, in the courage of Joshua, I want my people to march forward, lift up the standard, and finish the work in this world. And so, the principles, yeah? Verse 7 and 8, the law, the foundations. As Jeremiah said, look for the old paths. And walk ye in him. It is not time for some new pads, by the way. I've been hearing people bringing about new things. Now, it's great to have new things. only if these new things are according to the principles of God. It is not time for us to be thinking, well, we've been doing this old thing and yeah, let's have some fresh things. Well, I love fresh things, Clayton. Those fresh things must be according to the principles of the Word of God. And so I've not commanded you, be strong enough for good courage. Can I talk about courage? The word courage, according to the dictionary, the courage or the definition they have for courage is mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Connie. Mental, moral strength. Men and women without backbone cannot fulfill this promise today that we're reading in the book of Joshua. It's going to take those who will not, it doesn't matter what happened, but I will stand for what God has given for us. In the book of Education, page 57, verse 3. Education 57, verse 3. Look at what it says. The greatest want of the world, one of my favorites here, is the want of man. Man who will not be bought or sold. Man who in their inmost souls are what? True and honest. Men who do not fear to do what? Call sin by its right name. Men whose conscience is as true to duty as what? The needle to the pole. Men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. That's what God is looking for today. But such a character, many people leave it right there. There's another verse. There's another paragraph. Many people leave it right there. But such a character, continuing, is not the result of accident. It is not due to special favors or endowments of providence. A noble character is the result of self-discipline, of the subjection of the power, the lower, to the higher nature. The surrender of self for the service of love to God and men. That is what God is calling for. Men who will give everything for the love of God and the love of man. That's a cross. Love to God, love to man. As we close today, courage signifies to resist opposition, danger, or hardship. Courage implies firmness of mind and will, mind and will, willpower in the face of danger or extreme difficulty, great tenacity. That's courage. It takes courage to stand when everyone else is bowing. It takes courage in great danger to say, Lord, I am here for you. It takes courage when everyone thinks that it cannot happen, that one says, it is possible. It takes courage when everyone is given up and everyone thinks that it is over, that he said, no, it is not over. God is with us. It takes courage to see the dangers. It takes courage to see that our world seemingly about to fall and that many will not hear the gospel. It takes courage and faith and belief and sacrifice and all of those nice, amazing things to understand that no, it is not done. God has the final work to be done. And so, there are some things that I really like. In manuscript releases, in manuscripts, there are some things that are said about Joshua here. I'll read these, and then a few more lines at the bottom, and let's get ready to eat. No better guide than God. Listen to what this one says. Manuscript 1898. If men will walk in the path that God has marked out for them, they will have a counselor whose wisdom is far above any human wisdom. Joshua was a wise general because God was his guide. Because God was his guide. By the way, years ago when I first started listening to some of Frank's messages, you did some series on success here at Eden Valley, I heard. I listened to some of them, and one of the things you mentioned that it never leaves my mind is God never asks us to look for success. You remember that phrase? You use it in your message. Never asks us. And I kept looking through the Bible after I heard your message. He never asks us to go looking for success. Go for this, go for this. He said, no, when you do this and you do my will, you obey my voice and you observe all according to what is in the law, then he gives success. Success in any line, we're told, requires a what? Definite aim. So watch this other line here that I like very much. It says, the secret of Joshua's success. The Lord has a great work to be done in our world. To every man he has given his work for man to do. But man is not to make man his guide, lest he be led astray. This always is unsafe. While Bible religion embodies the principles of activity and service, at the same time there is the necessity of asking for wisdom daily from the source of wisdom, and that's not any of us here. The source of wisdom is God himself. And we are unsafe. We are unsafe if we rely on man. We need to rely on God. And so I'd like to finish today with a few things. The Divine Guarantee, Testimonies for the Church, Volume 9, page 107. God will do the work if we furnish him with the instruments. Isn't that wonderful? Ministry of Healing, page 150. God will accept the wholehearted service and will himself make up the deficiencies. He will make up the deficiencies, friends. He will do the work. He will accept the wholehearted service and make it up. Testimonies for the Church, volume 9, page 135. The truth is soon to triumph gloriously, and all who now choose to be laborers together with God will triumph with it. It's triumphing, friends. And it's either we are with it, or it's going to keep marching and we're not going to make it. But it's moving forward. It's moving forward. That's what we have here. Testimonies for the Church, volume 7, page 30. To everyone who offers himself to the Lord for service without withholding nothing is given power for the attainment of measureless results. Did you get that? Did you get that? To everyone who offers himself to the Lord for service withholding nothing is given power for the attainment of measureless results. How much is measureless? Measureless, yes, that's right. And then it says, the Lord has a place for everyone in his great plan. He has a place for you today. Talents that are not needed are not bestowed. Supposing that the talent is small, God has a place for it. What's your talent today? And that one talent, if faithfully used, will do the very work God designs that it should do. This is coming from Christian Service, page 257, paragraph 8. And finally here, true success in any line of work is not the result of chance or accident or destiny. It is the outworking of God's providences, the reward of faith and courage and discretion, of virtue and perseverance. Fine mental qualities and a high moral tone are not the result of accident. God gives, what's the next word? Opportunities. Success depends upon the use we make of them. Do we have opportunities today? of them. As I thought about this, there's one line that stuck in my mind and stuck there for a long time. As I was getting ready to come to Eden Valley, I said, Lord, I didn't plan this. I don't think this is the path. As you heard from many of the men this morning, I tried to go to another path. And the Lord keeps saying, this is the way. The Lord kept saying, no, it's not what you're thinking. It's not what you think. I have a plan. And so I want to submit to all of us today that as the Lord prompted my wife and my heart, and we felt very clearly that this is it, and God has called us. As we received the call, we came to do nothing but to lift up Jesus. We came to do nothing but, as Joshua was counseled, that we should not depart from the book of the law. And the principles, the standards, the foundation of what God has given us. It is our goal. It is what God has placed in our hearts to lift up Jesus and what God has given to us. And so failure is never in my mind. I tell you something today about me. You will have to kill me working before I sit down and said it can't be happen. It can't happen. I don't need to see the way. I don't need theory. I don't need to understand logically how it functions. If God says it, it's going to happen, because God, the book of Joshua, is about God fulfilling His promises. And I don't need to see. I don't need to see anything. All I know, if God says it, it's going to happen. And I'm going to work. And if you think you can work harder than me, let's go. Because I will work. I'll do everything that God, I've seen where there are times that people around me, not here at Eden Valley, I'm talking about in the past, people around me say, oh, we can't do that. Oh, we can't. Oh, really? Let's go. Really? Why can't be done? Is God dead? So I want to encourage us with the last quote on failure. And I'm deliberate why I leave this one at last. There should be no thought of failure. Watch this. Christian Service 261. Workers for Christ are never to think, much less to speak, of failure in their work. The Lord Jesus is our efficiency in all things. His Spirit is to be our inspiration. And as we place ourselves in the hands, in His hands, to be channels of light, our means of doing good will never be exhausted. We may draw upon His fullness and receive of that grace which has no limit. No limit. So I don't think failure, beloved friends. Adner and I were at Adagra in the beginning of this year, and he started dreaming and telling me great things, and I said, let's go. Because I don't believe in failure. I don't believe in, oh, it can't happen. Why it can't happen? Have you tried? Joshua never crossed the Jordan before. The banks were overflowing, but the courage in the heart of Joshua is saying, raise up the standard, he told the priest, and go forward. Raise it up. He didn't wait for the Jordan to part, by the way. He went in and then it parted. Today, I say courage in the Lord, folks. I say we must have courage in order to finish this work. In order to move forward, we have to have backbone and courage. Anyone want courage today? Anyone is saying, today, I want God to help me to be a part of this final movement and be actively involved, putting all our energies into the work of God. Friend, it's getting late. And our energies can be in many other things but the work of God, and we're in trouble. We're in trouble. I'm in trouble. And I want God to revive my spirit today. Let us pray. Father, how much we need you. Thank you for the courage of Joshua. Thank you for the word that you have given to your servants. And how much, dear Lord, you wanted to have all the answers, but you only gave him the promises. But the promises were enough, because the answers are in the promises. And he went forward because he devoted everything to you. Lord, I surrender everything to you. I present all of us before you today. We have come from different places. Lord, may the courage of Joshua be in our hearts today. May that courageous spirit, being strong enough with good courage, be not dismayed. Neither be afraid. I am with you is a promise that God has given to us today. And we ask for the anointing of your spirit, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we leave this place knowing that we have a great work to accomplish in this world. And give us, Lord, energy. Give us zeal. Give us, Lord, the power that is limitless, so that we'll be able to do this work. Give us a fresh consecration, fresh energy for your work. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, so you don't faint from hunger. Lunch is ready. And there's four lines. There's two lines downstairs. So you can go downstairs or you can walk across. And there's two lines over at the village. And John Davidson says that the 29th fundamental belief of the church is haystacks. And that is what we are having. So you can go downstairs or you can go across. So Pastor Chenille, can you pray for lunch for us? Quick.
So why don't we sing? Stand up. You've been sitting for a while. Yes. No, it is important. 608, faith is a victory. We will sing and then we'll pray the benediction and for lunch. Faith is a victory. We will not leave until we sing, beloved friends. It is important. Let us sing.
Encamped along the hills of light, on Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle o'er the night, shall veil the gloomy sky. Against the foe in battles below, let all our strength be hurled, and faith the victory we will know, that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us in love, our world, the word of God. We tread the road, the saints above, with shouts of triumph drawn. By faith they like whirlwinds in breath, sweep on over every field. The faith by which they conquer death is still our shining shield. Faith is the faith. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him who overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name, confessing him. We onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame. We'll vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is
the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the victory. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Give us that faith. Give us the sacrifice and the courage. And Lord, we thank you for your blessing as we leave now from your temple. Help us not to leave from your presence. We thank you for providing the food today. We ask your blessing. We know you have provided for everyone. And so we pray that if there is a need, Lord, that you will also multiply in case someone take too much. So Lord, we ask that you will give a plate to each one and bless our meal. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.